Well, my family moved to this town when I was 6 months old. My father got this offer here to be the head of the physics department. And so we moved here into what was then faculty housing on campus. And ironically, our house sat almost exactly where Hahn Hall sits now.
When Marshall Hahn later became president of the Virginia Polytechnic Institute, the student body numbered about 6,000. Today, it's pushing 30,000. And part of that's due to the vision of this new president. Hahn opened doors to women and to people of color. And that was at a time when there were still signs posted at the Lyric Theater here, directing them to the balcony. His daughter, Betty Hahn, says he not only changed the school, he changed this town.
He saw a great opportunity to change it into not just a college. It was called VPI, you know. And he had the vision to want to change it into a big research university. He has everything to do with why this town has gone on the trajectory that it has.
Hahn remembers her dad as someone with a lot of ambition, a lot of drive. He got his PhD at MIT, and in some ways, it was a model for what he wanted to emulate at Virginia Tech.
He was a genius. I don't think there's any other word for it. And he had more or less of a photographic memory. And he would meet a freshman student, learn their name, where they were from, what their major was. And he was famous for being able to run into them on the drill field 3 or 4 years later and call them by name and remember their major and ask how things were back in their hometown.
Home to Betty was, of course, Blacksburg, in the middle of a college campus that was growing and changing.
Well, I'm sure I was a brat because initially I thought I was kind of a princess. You know, we moved into just from a normal little suburban house into this more or less a mansion on the campus.
And how old were you then?
I must have been about 8 or 9 when we moved in there. And my father was good friends with the Virginia governor, and he came to the inauguration, and we were riding around in the governor's limo and all this, and I was pretty sure I'd become a princess at that point.
Actually, she became a professor, a musician, and an avid environmentalist. After boarding school in Richmond, she studied art at Virginia Commonwealth University. Later, she got degrees in English and writing and taught at Radford College. And then the couple moved out west, Betty to study and teach, and husband Doug Chauncey to pursue an acting career.
And did you?
Well, yes, but I wasn't the next Robert Redford or anything.
While Doug looked for acting gigs, Betty taught at San Diego State.
And really, it was when we went to California that I kind of realized that I was an Appalachian. I never knew that before, really. I hadn't thought about it.
It was one of those revelations about the difference between how you see yourself and how others see you.
And then suddenly, without me even having considered that I might even be Appalachian, I was having people ask me if I was the first one in my family to get an education. Did I grow up without indoor plumbing? And I was just absolutely shocked. And it made me aware both of my privilege but also of the really deep-rooted stereotyping of Appalachians.
And that revelation would change her life. In part two of our report, we'll hear what that's been like. I'm Robbie Harris.
Oh, I left these old mountains when I seek my fortune, but I forgot something important, and now I'm